I was a practicing clinician working in a home health agency model. I wasn't allowed to dose my patients as per best practice guidelines. So I said, there's gotta be a way to do this better.
My grandmother and my grandfather, I started seeing them going in and out of long-term care. It started personal, seeing the sick side of 80, and now it's been exciting to be part of Fox.
Light bulb moment.
Like, that's a complete game changer.
You can see what we can do as a practice and as treating clinicians to really make 80, 85 look so much different than it did back that long ago.
And boil it down into one saying, it's quite simply this. It's be stronger, live better longer.
Welcome to Fox Rehabilitation's Live Better Longer podcast, the podcast dedicated to clinicians who work with older adults. My name is Jim Scheer, and today I am joined by Susan Avery, the founder and artistic director of the Pacemakers, a groovy senior citizens dance team. Susan Avery, aka Chief Heart Murmur. That's your Pacemakers nickname?
Absolutely. That is my Pacemakers nickname.
Do you have a heart murmur?
I actually do have a heart murmur.
As do I.
Twinsies. So that the reason I chose that as my nickname, everybody on the Pacemakers has a nickname, is because a heart murmur is not something that's deadly, but it's something you have to sort of pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want my team to pay attention to me and not be afraid. So that was why I chose that name.
And that's on your cap, right? Because as a pacemaker, have a hat.
Everybody has the name right on the back. There it is, Chief Heart Murmur. There you go. Yep.
So how do we even get into this? I found out about the pacemakers because I was attending a minor league baseball game. And it turns out at the same time, we were planning Dr. Tim Fox's Carol B. Lewis lecture for CSM 2024. And Dr. Fox, his mission for years and years and years, he wanted to have a flash mob of older adults. So we were looking around, and then when I was at the baseball game, I thought, I guess I'm supposed to be here today. This is it. And let me just say that when you perform, it's show stealing. Like, everything stops. And I want more, because you only perform, for like 2 or 3 minutes, maybe even a little less than that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted more and more. So fortunately, at this baseball game, you came out twice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We came out twice. And it was really meant to be that you were there. When we came off the field and you tapped me on the shoulder and said, are you in charge of this team? And everybody was so excited and getting high fives. And, you know, people stop me a lot and they just want to say thank you or you're great or something like that. But when you said, do you travel? I said, we certainly do. And I wanted to hear more. And here we are.
And you traveled to Boston, and I'm going to say it, you stole the show again.
Aw, thanks. Yeah, we're a very dedicated group. I always say we're very serious about our rehearsal, but we're a bunch of ridiculous human beings. So we spend a lot of time being serious at rehearsal so that we could take that crazy, fun joy out into the world. Because our mission is to say, you know, old is not a bad word.
Yes.
You actually want to get old. It's a badge of honor. It's aspirational. And we want to show people that just because you're 60s, 70s, 80s and up doesn't mean you should just, you know, that we're not useful. We're actually, studies show that older people do better on tests, are more productive at work. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And to be a healthy senior, you don't have to climb Mount Everest. You don't have to be, you know, this in the gym for 3 hours a day. You just have to move. And that's our message to our people.
I think you need to work with Fox Rehabilitation at some point in your life, because your mission and the pacemaker's mission is very close to ours.
Yeah. I mean, and it's something that's not being said a lot. So I was thrilled to learn more about Fox and to go into your website and see Dr. Fox's message right there on the website. As you know, it's all about taking care of older people, and it's not just getting them to have a little less pain, it's getting us to vitality after we have surgery. And everybody, every single pacemaker on the team has had some major issue that they've had to go to PT for and get rehabbed. And we never, ever want to be treated like, okay, we'll just get rid of the pain. We actually want to still be vital. And as Dr. Fox says, you know, driving that dirt bike well into our hundreds.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's our goal.
Are you sure you're not related to Dr. Tim Fox?
We have like the same DNA, right?
I'm bummed out because I was on stage for his CSM presentation. I was throwing him questions. So I was getting ready, and then he said, I want to meet the pacemakers. So Tim and our CEO, Dr. Robin Kiar, they went up to meet you prior to your performance. I missed out on that. What was that like? The meeting of the pacemakers and Dr. Tim Fox and our CEO, Dr. Robin Kiar.
For us, it was like Beyonce walking in the room. You know, everybody just like stopped. And we were like, yeah, we couldn't believe that he and Robin walked in. And we sort of encircled them. We embraced them. And Dr. Fox told us his mission. And we actually have a clip of it on our Instagram. And
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, where he's starting to talk. And, you know, we're older people. We actually start interrupting him and interjecting, you know, just saying, yes, that's our mission. We're all like interjecting as he's talking because we really are on the same page.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing because it's not a common message. And thank God for you guys that you're out there doing the real work that we as seniors need.
And thank God for you because you are proof of the work we do. Life doesn't stop at 65 or 70. You can be in a dance troupe at 85. It's possible.
Absolutely. And you know what? The thing about the pacemakers, and I'm sure same thing with Fox, there's no expiration date. You don't age out of the pacemakers. As long as you show up to rehearsal, we'll figure it out. And we've had people come to, I had knee surgery and I schlepped into rehearsal, you know, on crutches and doing my thing and sitting out when I needed to. And everybody on the team has had something and we just go with the rehabilitation and we say, okay, like, what are you doing now? What can you do now? How can we support? And, you know, that's what it's all about, is keeping us vital.
So Susan, the reason you're here today, I've seen you perform multiple times. I'm a fan of the pacemakers. I love the pacemakers. And then I thought, it was like, probably like a day before I emailed you, I don't know the whole history of the pacemakers. So I wanted to peel back the layers today. So let's go back to the beginning. You founded the pacemakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what inspired that?
It's quite the story. Buckle in. In 2017, let me back up a little bit about me before I get there. I've always been one of these people who's loved to dance. Obviously, never became a professional dancer. I was a journalist for 33 years. And then when I turned 60, I became a teacher, a licensed teacher. So, but dance was always a hobby. So I would take classes at the local community centers and Y's all my life. In 2017, I saw an ad that the Brooklyn Cyclones, which is the New York Mets farm team here in New York City, was holding an audition for, they called it the Surf Squad, which was a dance team. And it didn't say anything in the ad about an age. So I thought, oh, that would be fun. I would love to do something like that. So I showed up at the audition. Everybody at the audition was between 17 and 25. And so, you know, I said to the administrator, thank you very much. I realize I'm in the wrong place. And she said, no, stay. There is no age limit. So it was a very long, grueling audition, about 3-4 hours. And at the end of the audition, I couldn't believe I made it onto the team. So I got to dance alongside these amazing kids who are and young adults who are aspiring to be professional dancers. And we would rehearse before the season started. I learned so much. And it was, I couldn't believe I got this job. So the opening day comes and we perform on the field and I am just elated that I cannot believe I'm now a professional dancer. I'm getting paid to do this. Unfortunately, when I got home that evening, that joy just totally busted up. I learned what it was to be cyberbullied. Some fans in the crowd were not happy to see an older person on the dance team. And I was called all kinds of names and very, very nasty things. This is separate from the Brooklyn Cyclones. The Brooklyn Cyclones were amazing to me. These were some fans in the audience that were very vocal about that they wanted to see just young people dancing. And it was really kind of cruel. So I took screenshots of all that and I sent it to the Cyclones that night. And I said, I am so sorry. I'm bringing shame to the team. I will bring back my costume. And to their credit, they said, absolutely not. We hired you for a reason. You keep your head up high and you keep on dancing. So I did. And so throughout the season, I would see these comments on Facebook that were not nice, but I had to rise above it. And there were some fans that were wonderful and like thrilled that I was there. They're like, thank you for representing seniors. But there were some that just wouldn't look my direction. They were just not happy that I was there. Come the end of the season, I handed in my costume. I said, thank you very much. And I was sitting at dinner with my daughter at this very table that I'm sitting at now. And I was said, well, I guess that's the end of my dance career. That was fun. And she said, she's a sarcastic New Yorker. She said, why don't you start your own old people dance team? And I just stopped for a second. And I said, how would I do that? I don't know how to do that. I'm a journalist. I'm the opposite of running a team. Journalists, as you know, work by themselves. You know, I don't know how to start a team. And she said, you'll figure it out. So I put an ad in Backstage Magazine and Playbill. And I said, senior citizen dance team starting up, come to the audition. Without any details, because I didn't have any details. I was just like, let's just do this. I didn't even have a name of the team. So we held the audition and I called a friend of mine, my friend Heather, who was the captain of the Knicks City Dancers, the New York Knicks City Dancers, those wonderful hot babes mm-hmm. who are amazing dancers. She was the captain. And I said to her, will you help me start this? And she said, absolutely. So she lives all the way upstate New York. She came in, she ran the audition. We hired about 20, the first group was 16 people. We hired 16 people. And by hired, all I said was, you're on the team. Nobody was paying. I wasn't right. paying anybody. And we all started on this journey together. And I remember they said to me, what's the name of the team? And I said, let me get back to you. I meditated that week and pacemakers came into my head. And I went on the trademark website, the US trademark, nobody owned that word. So I immediately trademarked the name and here we are, the Pacemakers Dance Team. And this is the best part of the story. We started rehearsing and learning all the learning dances and I was taking video. And I sent some video to my friends at the Brooklyn Cyclones, my friends who worked at the Cyclones. And I said, look what I did, I created this team. And they said, you must come and perform at the Brooklyn Cyclones. And I said, I don't think some of the fans like us. And they said, we don't care. We want you to perform here. So it comes full circle. In July of 2019 was our first performance. And we performed at the Brooklyn Cyclones to a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And they set us on the course. And here we are today.
Yeah. You showed them.
That's right. I know it's a long story, but I wanted to tell you everything because it's remarkable that I had to go through all of that to get to here.
Yes.
You know, I'm really proud of my team. You're just really proud. And to me, the Brooklyn Cyclones are in my heart forever.
Yes.
They gave us our start and here we are.
And it shows too that sometimes obstacles kind of help you find the path you need to go on.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but I recently saw Madonna at Madison Square Garden and she's talking about her career and all the big songs in her career. And there was a partner show when she talked about when she was in her 30s and people were calling Madonna grandma when she was in her 30s.
Yeah. I was at that same show. and Madonna and I are the same age. And I know that. And
there you go. Yeah.
You know, I know that that's a thing. And it really amazes me because I have, you know, friends from other countries who just can't believe how older people are just discarded in this country and pushed aside. And I think that the change has to come from us older people. If somebody calls me old, I say thank you. I don't get insulted. I think that we as seniors, not you, me, you know, and my group, that we need to stop being offended by the word old. It really, we can't say, I'm not old. Yes, you are. If you think about the continuum of life, young would be birth to 30, 31 to 59 is middle age, 60 plus is old. That's mm-hmm. the way it works. And there's nothing offensive about it. There's nothing offensive about it. That is what we are. We're not dead. We're old. We're in the third stage of life.
Yeah.
No shame.
Well, I think when you're younger, you don't really have a concept of people being old. You know, you think someone who is in their 30s is like a grandma. But my father-in-law was recently on this podcast because he still cuts lumber. And wow. he can outdo the kids that are on college break. And I said to him, it's people like that that now inspire me. So when I was in my teens, yeah, I want to be like the cool athlete or the cool pop star. But there comes a point in your life, 30s, 40s, and 50s, where you're like, I want to be like them. I want to be dancing when I'm 80. I want to be cutting lumber when I'm 80. I want to be playing basketball, riding a dirt bike, all that good stuff. So I look up to people like that now. So I think the naysayers, at some point, a switch will be flipped where they're like, oh, wait a second. This is really cool.
Yeah, I think it's coming. I see little things. I see movies, you know, things in media where it's coming out like that. But we have a lot of work to do and a lot of messages to put out there. So, yep.
But even too, I think it was the Thanksgiving game last year. Dolly Parton came out in a Dallas Cowboys mm-hmm. Cowgirls cheerleaders costume. Uniform. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, mm-hmm. Dolly, go get it.
Yep. And she got a lot of hate for that. I couldn't believe the comments. She shouldn't be wearing that, right. whatever. And I was just like, you don't like
it. I was like, what are you talking about? This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So I need to know, how do you recruit for the pacemakers? Or do people just say, hey, I need to be a pacemaker?
So it's both. Not a week that goes by that I don't get requests to be on the team. So people email me from all over the United States wanting to be on the team or asking me to start a team in their area. I would say I have at least 200 requests for us to start teams in all over the country. Can you please start one in Orlando, in Beloit, in Biloxi, in Albuquerque, in Seattle? I get them all the time. So we hold auditions once or twice a year, and I put it in Playbill and I put it in Backstage. We put it all over social media and people show up and we have a real audition. The good thing about being a pacemaker is you don't have to have any professional experience. You just have to have, you have to be at least 60. Mm-hmm. You have to love dancing and you have to have a desire to perform. So there are a lot of people who love dancing who don't want to perform. And there are a lot of people who love performing who aren't great dancers. So, you know, we have to weed people out. But, you know, ultimately, if you show the enthusiasm, you're on the team.
Wow. So how many current members are on the pacemakers?
35 people on the team.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then how do you determine who performs at what stop?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we get all of these requests to perform. And I email the team a performance request email. It's a very standard email. Subject line says performance request and the date. And then I put the specifics and it goes out to the team all at the same time. And people raise their hand and say, I'd like to do it. And so I just make sure it's balanced that, you know, not everybody is on every performance. And, you know, I just make sure it's balanced. And if somebody writes to me and says, this is a really important performance to me, my sister lives in that area, I want to be there, I make sure that they're on. So we just make sure it's very balanced and equal.
And then so when you are performing, say at a basketball game or a baseball game, what's like the ideal number?
12 to 14. That's our ideal number. So that if we, God forbid, we have somebody who gets sick, you know, if I have 14, I could still work with 13 and 12. But that's our sweet spot, 12 to 14 people. Although when we came to Boston, we brought 20. Which made sense to me because of the massive size of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It just made sense to bring 20 and everybody was happy to come.
It was a giant room, so we had to split you in
half.
It's
a giant room. Yeah.
10 on that side, 10 on the other. Hey, I do want to say that our compliance officer, Dr. Megan Henninger, so Tim's speech was over and she comes up to me and she tugs me on the elbow and she said, I want to be a pacemaker.
Is she 60?
She is not.
When we first started the team, I do have to tell you, it was 50 plus, and I realized very quickly that that was a mistake. And like within a couple of months, I changed it to 60 plus. And so we actually still have somebody on the team who's in her 50s. And what we say is that we keep a young person on the team to carry everything.
Yeah.
And for when we all die, she'll take over. But we, you know, I do think about the next generation, but thankfully I don't have to worry about that right now. But everybody is 60 plus and our average age is 72 on the
team. Wow. That's yep. cool.
Yeah.
So, hey, back to franchising the pacemakers. Have you given that any you more thought?
The F-word, not me. So I thought about it and I realized that what works better for us and to keep it authentic is for the pacemakers themselves to go on tour. So it's like the Rockettes. You don't have like Rockettes in different towns. You have
that's true.
Yeah. So that's the goal. And right now I'm actually looking to hire a grants writer because we have nonprofit status. We just have to start applying for grants and corporate sponsorships so that we could take us on the road on tour. Like I said, we have all of these places that want us. It's just a matter of traveling there. So I don't, franchising is not going to happen, but this is what we came up with. All of these folks who've written to me saying they want to be on the team who live across the country. We have a whole spreadsheet about this. When we come to Seattle and finally perform in Seattle, all the people from Seattle will be allowed to perform with us. So I will send them choreography in advance. I'll do Zoom rehearsals. And then when we get there, they'll rehearse with us in person and they'll perform with us in their hometown.
That's cool. I like
yeah,
that.
That's the plan because we want all those people to be excited, but we're not going to actually start teams in those towns. We're just going to add people from those towns to performances.
So right now, if someone wanted to be a full-time pacemaker, they would have to be in the greater New York City area?
Yeah, or not necessarily. I mean, we have people in Connecticut and deep into New Jersey, Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, way upstate New York, and they just come in for rehearsals. So we're open to just people from anywhere as long as you could get to rehearsal
okay.
every Saturday. Or as many Saturdays as you can.
And is that when you rehearse every Saturday?
Every Saturday from 10 to 1, right near Penn Station. So it's actually very easy. And I do that on purpose so that anybody coming in from out of town, we're right near, you know, Port Authority, Penn Station, and you just come right up and our studio is right there.
Yes. So I know how I felt after I saw you perform for the first time. I was just wondering, do you have any cool stories of people coming up to you after a performance and saying how much they loved it?
Yeah, it was something that happened in October last year. We performed at a fundraiser, a gala fundraiser for a nonprofit. They hired us. And there was a woman off to the side. It was all standing room. It wasn't like a seated banquet thing. And there was a woman that caught my eye. I was directing, who's in a wheelchair. And after the team left the dance floor, she beckoned me over and I walked over to her and she said, "You were wonderful." And she said, and she was actually crying. She said, "I am so happy to see older people moving and grooving because so often people forget about us." And this woman was in a wheelchair and she just like became our biggest fan, started, you know, I gave her a card. She's one of those people who comments on all of our social media posts and, you know, will email me and tell me just how much we mean to her. And that to me is everything. I mean, yes, we want to reach the masses and everybody to get over the shame of being old and all that. But when I touch an individual person, you know, with our mission, that to me is everything. So she said, "You inspire me." And one day, and she even said, "One day I want to get up and dance again too." And I said, "We're here for you. We're here for you.
Wow.
You let us know. Come to rehearsal."
Yes. And then what's it like for the dancers? What joy does it bring to them?
This is kind of one of those things that makes me a little speechless. The people on the team have become very much a family. And I'm not just saying that. That is not cliche because I don't say that easily. We deeply care about each other. And not only personally, but we also help each other professionally to be the best we can. Because the experience of working together, performing and getting the feedback we get from the fans about how excited they are to see old people having fun on the field and doing hip hop. And, you know, we have a couple of break dancers on the team, throwing in a little break dance here and there and just showing our joy. You know, my team is constantly telling me this. They'll say, you know, oh, my father was in the stands, or my ex-husband wrote to me that he was in the stands and he didn't know I was going to come out on the field and start performing. And I'm just a little choked up about this. What the joy that they're feeling, it's just unbelievable. I mean, this is exactly what we're all about, is spreading the joy. So the team themselves, they each talk all the time about how thrilled they are to be a pacemaker.
And it's contagious. It's absolutely nice. Contagious.
That's really nice to hear. Yeah. Thank you.
So I need to know, where are you performing this year? I'm going to be like a groupie.
Yeah, no, that's great. So my cat just walked here and I have to move her. Excuse me. We have a performance on Friday, March 29th at the Westchester Knicks, which is the New York Knicks farm team. And it's their second to last game of the season, and it's Women's Empowerment Night. So we have a few fun things in store. We're performing two original dances. We'll do t-shirt tosses. We're hoping also to perform with the mascot, which should be really fun. But we have our original dances, or some surprises are in store there. So that's our next
Hold
one.
On. I'm actually writing this down. Is that the like that older venue where the Liberty played for a couple of seasons?
The Westchester County Center.
Yeah.
In White Plains.
Okay. All right.
April 19th, we're doing a dance workshop at Il Centro Community Center in Brooklyn. And we're going to be teaching a dance workshop. We teach to about between 60 and 100 seniors. We have a choreographed dance to These Boots Are Made for Walking. And it's really fun. So we're going to be doing that on April 19th. And then on April 29th, it's International Dance Day. We're doing another dance workshop at the Cerevich Senior Center on 13th Street. This is a fun one. Saturday, April 27th is the Chelsea Street Fair along 8th Avenue. There's a senior talent show. Now, we're not part of the talent show. Some seniors are coming and doing the talent show. We are the judging break. So when the judges are convening to make their decisions on who wins, we do the 15-minute break, and we do all kinds of fun things. We'll do the YMCA, the cha-cha slide. We'll do some original dances. So we do that every year. So that's on April 27th, and that's at about between 2 and 3 p.m.
Any Hudson Valley Renegades games booked?
Yes, we're doing for that. We have on September 8th. Uh-huh. Which I believe might be Grandparents' Day, but September 8th. Oh, it's the last game of the season. September 8th, we're performing at the Hudson Valley Renegades. And we're also performing, we're throwing out the first pitch of the New York Boulders in Pomona, New York.
Wait. When is that?
That is May 10th. That's opening day.
It's wild that you said that, because a few months ago, we drove past a minor league field and we're like, what? We didn't know there was a minor league team in this area. And we're like, this is actually closer to us than the Hudson Valley Renegades.
Yeah, it's
and my wife looked it up and she's like, it's the Boulders. So we're like, we got to go to a Boulders game. So I think our first Boulders game has to be on May 10th.
Absolutely. And you'll see us throw out the first
yes!
pitch.
All right. That's awesome.
Yep. We have a whole bunch of dates with the Cyclones this year, the Somerset Patriots, which is the Yankees farm team. They're in New Jersey. So we're performing there as well. We have a whole lot of dates.
And are those dates listed anywhere?
No. What we do is we announce them on our social media.
Shout it out.
Everything is at Pacemakers Dance Team. So at Pacemakers, plural. Pacemakers Dance Team. So all of our social media, we're on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us on all those places.
Yeah, so if you don't do it already, please follow the Pacemakers. It's well worth it. And then if someone wanted to book the Pacemakers, where should they go?
They could email me at pacemakersdanceteam@gmail.com.
Very easy to remember. Pacemakers Dance Team
at gmail.com. Or just go to the website, which is pacemakersdanceteam.com, and there's a contact sheet right on there.
Yeah, and Susan, when I first met her, she gave me her business card, and I'm like, well, we'll see if this works, and it does. Like, if you email Susan for a booking, she will get back to you.
Yeah, it's pretty much how I spend my days responding to emails.
And then do you know when this Pacemakers tour might happen?
You know, literally this morning, I was interviewing somebody to be our grants writer. We just have to get the money. We're all ready to do this. Like the whole team, we talk about this a lot. We talk about, you know, buying a Partridge Family bus. For those who don't know, who are younger, who are listening, that's a TV show from the 70s. It was a musical group, a family, and they had a fun bus. So we want to, not that we're going to get a bus, but the idea being is that we are all ready. We have all the components in place to go on the road. It's just a matter of getting funded.
And if any television producer is listening to this podcast, that is one hell of a reality show right there.
Yeah, we talk about that as well, is that we're perfectly ready for a reality TV show because we're a lot of fun. We really are a fun bunch. And if anybody, let me just add, if you go to the website and somebody's listening feels so inclined that they want to make a donation, it's tax deductible. Just go on the website, hit the donate button, and we will absolutely put that money to good use.
Yes, you will.
To pay for our expenses. So thank you very much.
Well, Susan, thank you for hopping on the podcast today. This is not the last you'll see of me, though.
Aw. Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for everything. And I just, you know, the message to seniors listening and to physical therapists helping seniors, first of all, thank you to those physical therapists who are helping us, because without you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Truthfully, every single pacemaker has used a physical therapist and is grateful. And to those who are 60 plus, please remember, you're not dead. You're not even close to dead. Keep it moving. 10 minutes a day of walking, that's all you need to be a healthy senior. So dance along with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. So for Susan Avery, aka Chief Heart Murmur, founder and artistic director of the Pacemakers, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Jens later.